This segment of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by Bike Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday, 5.05 p.m. It's the second half of the WWPR 1490 AM Financial Power Block set. Is now becoming a worldwide influence. You've heard of YouTube influencers. You've heard of Instagram influencers. I've got one of the greatest influencers to my right. And together with Mark Principato and 1,000 blazing watts of amplitude modulation frequency power, we are the Financial Power Block here. And the price of Bitcoin...
surging.
Stocks. Now
commodities.
Politics.
Oh.
I'm just going to insert this right up front. Last week, we did a two-part show. The first part was your typical weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And the second half hour, we were a little more hyper-local in Tampa Bay politics with a county commission candidate who was... registered as a write-in candidate, won't replay all this stuff, but just let be known that when that happens, primaries are closed off, only a third of the voters get to vote, and we called them out on it, and that was just 5 days before qualifying was closed out. But
you changed it?
No.
Oh.
We talked to him last Monday. Friday at noon was when democracy would collapse under the disenfranchisement of two-thirds of the voters because of the weird, arcane election laws of Florida. And if you know it's Florida, you know it's weird and arcane that two-thirds would be shut out, unable to speak their will for their own self-government, something that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and countless unnamed others gave their life for. You know, even Jefferson and Washington, they're not around anymore. Mm. They gave up their life. Maybe
they're pulling down the statues, though.
Well, if you're under one of those statues, like some of those people, you may be in jeopardy yourself. But that's beside the point. Because right here, in actually the last 25% of the power block, we turned our power block ire to the local politics. We shook the political palm tree, metaphorically, of Tampa Bay, and the metaphorical coconuts came tumbling out of the movers and shakers and high rollers and influencers, not the good kind of influencers of Tampa Bay politics, and their coconuts were lying on the ground, and in the meantime, everyone gets to vote this election.
Woo.
Thank you. Yes, yes.
Thank you, Henry.
I used to have sound effects here, but...
Thank you, Henry.
You know, that's that empty spot right over there. Well, it's you too. You were there. Take the credit when the credit's due. Take the credit when the credit's not due. Because you've got to take the criticism when it's not due,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, but what? Back to our normal weekly roundup, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain, news, talk, nonsense, more. We had Facebook. Oh, excuse me. I should have put a comma or an apostrophe. Facebook owned WhatsApp, you know, Facebook owns WhatsApp, mm-hmm. rolls out electronic fiat payments, but WhatsApp with Facebook's Libra coin. You like that little pun there? WhatsApp with Libra. Anyway, meanwhile, China's state-backed virtual currency may be the first to launch worldwide.
You know, it's weird because the yuan keeps continuing to dive.
Well, it makes their exports cheaper.
I guess.
Wilshire Phoenix, that's an investment house, files to trade a Bitcoin ETF on the over-the-counter markets. So they had put multiple applications into the SEC to be on exchange traded fund on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, most likely the NASDAQ, refused, strung out, you know, strung along.
So does this mean the Facebook Libra coin is live?
No, that was actually the first headline, but we'll get to that very quickly.
Oh, okay.
That's our first story.
What's the second one?
The second one is the China state-backed virtual currency.
That's right. Yeah.
And the third one was the one I just said about Wilshire Phoenix's, just Wilshire investment, Bitcoin ETF. And
So they're trading an ETF now.
Well, they hope to be very quickly. After they got strung out for 2-3 years, whatever it was, by the SEC on the big markets, they're like, well, Grayscale Investments been eating our lunch for 4 or 5 years now. And speaking of Grayscale Investments, their Ethereum Investment Trust, or the symbol ETHE, is trading at a 750% premium over the market rate of the underlying asset, a.k.a. Ether. Yes.
Again?
That's why I was saying...
They didn't learn the first time?
That's why you have to listen to the entire Power Block, because I previewed this during Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, the GreenBridgeInvesting.com's flagship podcast.
So instead of paying a dollar for something, they're paying $7 and thinking they're getting a deal.
$7.50. Yeah. And they were paying a little bit more earlier.
Oh, my God.
See, and on their Bitcoin investment trust, they only pay $1.50 for a dollar.
Oh, that's a what a deal.
Yeah.
Steal there.
Buy some more. Make it up on volume. Anyway, so that's why I was saying that I don't care how my opinion is changing on Ether and Ethereum as a trade or an investment. Not all the way there yet, but it's getting there. And I don't fight stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, there's much more than that coming up here. We've got lots for you. This, if I can get through this as quickly as I expect to, you'll know it all. I tell you, I've got news for you. Look at that, Andy. It's like 5:14. We're through the chit-chat.
Yeah,
we're through the intros. We're through the headlines.
We had not diverged.
Pacing.
That's it.
Pacing, I tell you, Andy. We are reeking.
We're like
pacing.
A Tesla, just
whoosh. Yeah. You don't hear that engine roar up. You just torque it.
That's right.
Yeah. WhatsApp has premiered fiat electronic payments on its platform, with Brazil becoming the first country to experience a nationwide release. Coincidentally, with their nationwide coronavirus releases going on.
God.
Well, that's when you need electronic fiat payments, because you don't want to be touching any dirty Brazilian pesos or whatever they trade. What do they trade down there? You're a Forex guy. Pesos?
Bolivars.
Bolivars. Yeah, and look who they named it after, some revolutionary. You want to pick up some dirty revolutionary currency cooties? No, you want to use your WhatsApp platform. App to send that money and to pay people. You, when you're walking around that German-fested open market, it's bad enough you're walking around a German-fested open market, but you want to be able to hit a couple buttons on an apparatus only your fingers have touched and make your transaction.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because even Publix did not take Apple Pay for a while because they said it was too expensive, and now they take Apple Pay.
Do they take the cards that you just tap?
Yeah. Now you can do it right from your phone, right from your Apple Pay, yeah.
No, I'm asking about, you know.
I think so. They have a little thing there, you know.
Okay. I have to put my glasses on, I guess, when I check out.
9,500 Bitcoin.
9,500?
Yeah, getting there, 94.95, and it's going up and up.
I should have been like all those 2 o'clock traders that knew that we were coming on the air and put my trade in, but then I wouldn't be able to make my exit when I'm in the money, because I'd be on the radio. In the money, but on the mic. Let's see. All right. According to a statement released by WhatsApp earlier, users who have Visa, MasterCard, debit, or credit cards from Banco de Brasil, Nubank, and Sicredi. They speak Portuguese, and I can barely imitate Spanish.
Kind of mixes Portuguese and Spanish, I thought.
Can now attach instant payments to their messages. There's an unspecified monetary limit, so they aren't telling you, due to anti-money laundering and CFT concerns. What's CFT? That's not know your customer, anti-money laundering. Maybe CFT is Portuguese for know your customer. Additionally, WhatsApp users in Brazil cannot make more than 20 in-app transactions per day. They clog up the Brazilian internet, or... Oh, WhatsApp is reported to have 120 million users in Brazil.
Wow.
That's almost everybody.
Yeah.
That's like little babies pop out.
Yeah.
Hey, they stick a phone in their hand. Anyway. Well, that way you can find them when they crawl away.
Yeah.
WhatsApp is reported to have I already said that. While the official press release does not mention any jurisdiction other than Brazil, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said on his personal page that more countries are expected to come soon. All right. So we'll just wait for everybody to come soon.
I have to admit, Facebook's doing a lot of things. They got the new Facebook meetings.
Yes.
So you can do that.
Have you tried that?
No.
I had done Zoom. I had done Microsoft Teams, and then Google Meet.
Google Meet, I had one on that, yeah.
And like a lot, it's sort of like YouTube TV from Google.
Yeah.
They give you more for the money, and I don't know when they're going to take it away, but just because they can, they have that much clout. So they're giving you Google Meet, and for right now, I like it better than the other two. I haven't tried.
Cisco's got a good one. It's one I've always used.
Well, I think you got to pay for that one, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Actually, you got to pay for Microsoft Teams if you talk to more than one person. It's like...
I think if you have 365, you get a little bit more than one.
Yeah.
If you have Office 365, yeah. I think it's going to be a flooded market.
Well,
so.
Digressing from crypto, I think there are so many different things in the Microsoft suite of products. That for enterprises, all these ones that are the next hot thing, I just see them getting pretty much co-opted. And I mean, what can Zoom offer you that besides the video conference? Maybe I'm speaking from ignorance here. Won't be the first time, but what can they offer you in enterprise applications beyond the video conference?
That I don't know. I was on one. I've been on a couple Zooms. It's pretty. It's nice platform. You can share. What I like about it is you can share screens readily, easily.
Just like Microsoft Teams, just like Meet
and everybody else. You know, okay. Cisco I think still has the better platform. It's a little bit, you know, but I don't see much of a difference between them.
Microsoft, and they're even changing the branding now. It's Microsoft 365. It's not Office 365 anymore because. We want to be in every aspect of your life, and we're just going to keep it on. We're not going to be like Apple or Google that are in your face about being in your life about everything. We're open source, man.
Yeah, we
believe in free exchange, open. We're not the old Microsoft from the 90s where we locked everything up, wrapped it, double chained it up, two padlocks, and kept our system. We're open, much like the transparency of the new generation. And with Microsoft, if you want to manage your data, you know, Oracle has data products, Mongo database. Some people may know that one there, especially if they listen to the 4 o'clock show.
MDB.
They have their cloud based database. So Microsoft says, fine. We're happy you have all these. We have a platform that sits on top and can let your Oracle talk to your MDB. And you talk to our Microsoft SQL Server, and then all the Office products, and whatever Slack does, you know, you can do it in Microsoft.
Slack actually looks good. It's setting up for long.
Well, you may be, like I said, the stocks, you know, they're the hot new thing, but I don't know what they do.
It's going to be like everything else.
If I have 500 million desktops installed in businesses with my operating system running on them, and I can just... You know, use one system and do all the different things that all these individual ones. All right, so going on. Back to Facebook's attempt to dominate the world. Facebook Pay, a payment system developed in 2019 for Facebook-affiliated apps like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp, has been around. As the company has stressed in the past, Facebook Pay is built on existing financial infrastructure and partnerships and is not related to Novi. Example, Calibra. Well, they've gone through a few different names for this Libra stuff, which will run on the network. So it's they got the new thing for WhatsApp that they're starting out in Brazil, and then they're going to go worldwide with it. They got the old stuff on Facebook Pay that they can still use and gather your data there. And, oh, yeah, we have something called Libra. We, you know, it's there. Well, we'll get around to it. It's like your garage. I'll clean it out.
Clean it out one day.
Yeah. Once there's something in there I need. According to a May press release from Novi, a Facebook-owned digital wallet, it will be integrated into WhatsApp once it is released, supporting payments in in-house stable coins like Libra U.S. dollar, Libra euro, Libra British pound, as well as multi-currency coin called LBR. Yeah. In the meantime, start setting your bolivars to Carnival. Now, China, though, has emerged as the world's leader in central bank digital currency, or CBDC, as people that vape get confused by, development driving speculation surrounding countries' domestic and international ambitions for its CBDC. Glenn
is that
Lou,
like CBD oil?
Well, yeah, that's why I said vapors get confused about the whole thing. Chinese CBD, man, that's the best. TJ, man, you need to add that to your product line. The stuff you sent me works on my knee, but I can only imagine what some Chinese lathered up all over me would feel like.
Yeah.
Glenn Wu, Ledger Vault's head of Asia-Pacific region, Ledger, of course, being, I think this is the Ledger that is the, you know, hardware wallet, predicted that, you think? Because I never saw Vault go with it, Ledger Vault, but maybe. Predicted that China's state-backed virtual currency will be the first to launch worldwide. And I have no inside information, but I actually probably agree with that. Wu emphasized the speed with which China's government can deploy major initiatives on a national scale, suggesting that its early CBDC trials with 19 businesses, including Starbucks, McDonald's, and other American collaborators, may quickly grow to encompass such a larger pilot, he said.
Yeah.
I believe when it does come, it's going to be one of the first, if not the first, real CBDC with a real use case globally. Yes, undermining the American hegemonic currency. Yes. Wait, thank you, McDonald's and Starbucks. But that's okay. Everybody, it's American way. Sell ourselves out. Many analysts have posited that China is seeking to regain control over domestic payments, estimating that more than 96% of small retail transactions are processed by Alipay or WeChat Pay. Now, that is a critical phrase in all this word salad that I've been throwing at the listeners. So in the maxim that was taught to me by my radio mentor, said, tell them what you told them. Oh, tell them what, I should remember this. Tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So I told you what I was going to tell you, which is 96% of small retail transactions in China are Alipay or WeChat Pay. And then I told you that was important. And now I'm going to tell you why that's important. Because the Chinese government are greedy son of guns, and they want control of that market. They want a piece of the action. And they want all the data about whatever anybody buys, and they don't want to have to go to WeChat or Alipay to figure it out. And can we be far behind? However, Wu offers a more nuanced explanation, asserting that the growth, the growth of digital payment platforms was permitted by China's central government and aligned with many objectives. See, I don't think that's nuanced. That's what I just said rather bluntly. Centralizing the vast majority of the country's financial activity onto a handful of financial platforms, including rural areas that were previously outside the government's reach. Let's see what else. Retail users... this is important. From the retail user's perspective, as in the store owner, you wouldn't necessarily know what has changed. It's going to be the same. They will still use WeChat, the super app, to do a lot of different things, shopping, calling, blah, 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 blah. And but it's going to be seamless. No one is even going to know the difference, which is how all great authoritarian regimes should be.
Mm-hmm.
You should just be obedient, and it should be seamless. You shouldn't know you're being made to obey until they need to yank you by your neck and get you out of, from infecting the rest of the population with your crazy ideas. Okay. He also predicts that China will use its CBDC as a means to drive trade settlement in Chinese currency. He predicts that China will seek to incentivize its trading partners to conduct settlement using its CBDC, advancing that the government will look to entrench the use of it for international trade, especially when nations are resilient. So incentivize.
I doubt nations are standing in line to get any part of Chinese currencies. Or
no, but they want Chinese exports.
Okay, and you think China's going to say, well, if you don't use our,
you're so heavy-handed, Andy.
Yeah.
It's like, if you could do 10% of your currency transactions through our digital currency, and we've already provided you the infrastructure for it, we can actually, instead of using the SWIFT system or something with the U.S. dollar, we'll actually rebate you 2%. So, and we will credit that to your import-export account, so you'll actually be able to get 2% more of your raw materials, and, for no net difference in your cash balances. Wouldn't you do it?
No.
If you were Gambia or...
I guess. I mean, if you're a big company.
Bhutan or...
Yeah. But gosh, that's a lot. Who wants to own the yuan?
Well, if you're buying things with your yuan, and people want your yuan, you got to give them your yuan.
Yeah, all the major commodities, all the major stuff's trading U.S. dollars. Gold's traded
right now.
Yeah, what's going to change?
Well, I just told you.
It's
going to change incrementally. It's going to be seamless. Just like their population, it's going to be seamless for them. It's going to be seamless for us until we're just divvying up the pot.
Okay. I think it's going to be a big fail.
I'm glad you're loyal to your country.
Yeah.
But...
Well, it's not loyal to the country.
It's their objective. Agree that would be their objective.
Yeah. I guess.
Everybody envies the U.S.
Of course they do.
At least they're the financial dominance. People
absolutely.
That are...
Yeah, not only financial dominance, but also ingenuity. Look at all the great companies that have come out of here. Name a great company that has emerged from, and this is not a knock on Europeans or anywhere. Name a great company that has emerged from Europe that has been a game changer in the last 20 years. I'll wait.
How about we go 30 years?
30 years.
Nokia. Ericsson.
Okay, but those 30 years ago, what are they? They all got totally dominated by Apple.
Things change.
Okay. Totally dominated by Apple and Samsung. Okay.
Nestle's?
Nestle's been around forever. What have they done in general?
They've taken over the control of the world's commercial water supply.
Yeah, they have done that. They've done a good job of that, Nestle, yeah. But I think of all the great, Tesla.
Yeah. And okay. Where is the second factory going?
SpaceX.
Where's the second factory going?
It's going, hopefully, in Shanghai? In Florida.
And do you think the Tesla dealers in China say, we want your dollars, or they take one for those Teslas?
They take.
So what about those rare heavy metals that China controls 90% of?
Well,
do you think they could get...
There's a misconception on that. 90% of the mining of the metals are mined in China. Now, and because of the regulations... on mining in the United States. Now, if we were to allow those minerals to be mined in the United States, and we could...
I'm not going to argue that part. I'm not going to disagree even with you. Even if I abstain from argument, I won't disagree.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
You know, you got to build a mind to get caught up.
Well, they have the minds.
Well, you still got to crank them up. I can't imagine you're up to producing what you need to produce in under 2 years. You know, by the time you...
I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm going to say this. When you put someone like an Elon Musk behind the movement, anything is possible. I mean...
Okay.
But look at SpaceX.
There's a lot of different minds, a lot of different metals. I think 2 years is reasonable.
Reasonable. Okay.
Okay. Right. Well, that gives them 2 years to squeeze some of the other people on the Belt and Road Initiative, you know, the Central Asian countries that need this.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah. So, anyway.
How do you know he hasn't been hoarding it?
Who's hoarding it?
Elon. He's hoarding all those.
All those heavy metals?
All the heavy metals.
He in brought the metallic
in, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Probably in some, you know, out in California, you can hide a lot of stuff in that desert.
Is he going to Arizona or Texas?
I think it's Nevada. I thought it was Nevada.
Oh.
He's going to a red state.
Yeah.
I think you see a lot of companies do that. Not to be political, but, I Who's opening up a company in Minneapolis or Portland or any of those right now? Not many. Would you?
It's cold.
Would you open a restaurant up there?
I was offered a job. This was about 15 years ago. And probably for the good of my family and conservative material well-being as opposed to what I wanted to do for myself, I was offered to... by the person in charge of the Detroit, whatever they call their civic center, convention center, to come up and manage it. And
are you glad you didn't go?
Well, my life went through a lot of ups and downs over that period. So I could have, you know, on the one hand, it could have been a conventional life, a very cold conventional life. And, you know, there would have been material benefits for my family.
I lived up there.
And
it was cold. It was cold.
Yeah. Oh, look, I lost my spot here. The Google document scrolled itself.
It was spying on you. It was reading before you.
Yes. Well. All right, so we got through the Chinese stuff. Well, before we leave Chinese news, I'm sorry. Anyway, China also said that somewhere up there above that as long as you use legal... you can have a bank account that you use to trade cryptocurrency legally as long as you keep everything legal. And then the bank said, we're okay if you all, as in our all customers, to do cryptocurrency as long as you do it with legal exchanges. And I don't know where the legal exchanges are, but Binance has recently registered its trademark in China for a new venue exchange.
I wish I could buy Binance.
And then,
or BitMEX, for that matter. Gosh, they squeeze people out of money every day. I mean, it's like you talk about a printing press down there. It's like a printing press.
Well, actually, they had a couple problems, but that's the way digression.
What did they have?
They had some. There's some stories about them being not liquid sometimes.
No.
But then they usually have a breakdown on their platform, and they get liquid again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Chinese. It was another story that was going to posit that China is getting more cryptocurrency friendly once they get control of the digital currency platforms and part of the world domination that we're constantly being warned about. Cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase came under fire for alleged efforts to sell crypto surveillance services. That's what we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Coinbase has said it's clear the company's analytics do not share any personally identifiable data and all the other BS that they're going to put forward that could be true or couldn't be true. But, again, as I talked about word salad before. That is word salad.
Yeah,
we're not doing anything. Nothing here. Nothing to be seen. Never mind. Anyway.
Keep moving ahead.
The denial may contain a grain of truth. A source who has worked in compliance for crypto exchanges and Bitcoin ATM machines, none that we know of, revealed to Cointelegraph that multiple government entities have been actively monitoring users across nearly every centralized exchange and custodial crypto service provider for years. Now, I want to give credit to Goldbug One. Before he was Andrew, before he was Andy, he was Goldbug One. I don't know why his mother named him that way, but she just had a lot of foresight, I guess. And I remember one of the very first times you were on this show way back in years, it's like decades back, in 2017.
Yeah.
You said, they're watching. They're watching Bitcoin transactions, and they're going to gather everything they can. Well, he has corroboration. Anyway, has he been actively monitoring users across nearly every centralized exchange and custodial crypto service provider for years. Speaking on the condition of anonymity, this source indicated that crypto surveillance tactics go all the way to Bitcoin, back to Bitcoin's earliest days. They become a much broader effort after the Mt. Gox incident, in which 850,000 Bitcoin went missing. I guess the CIA must have had some Bitcoin there. They're like, crap.
Yeah.
We thought we could trust these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Japan. They're like honorary Americans.
That's it.
I worked for crypto exchanges, Bitcoin ATM companies. This is the anonymous source. The anonymous source. General crypto service providers and more. He can't keep a job. Or she can't keep a job, doesn't say. They all engage in surveillance practices. They have no choice. When it comes to keeping tabs on users, they say the U.S. government's favored methodology is called a suspicious activity report, or SAR. While the SARs are common...
wait a minute. Because I know that if you go like to buy a vehicle in cash, or you go to buy real estate in cash, they report you.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's a little stricter as I get down here.
So you got to bring two duffel bags to the thing. One to, you know, bribe the dealer to not report you, and the other one, for
$9,999 of U.S. dollars and $9,999 of Chinese yuan and some bolivars to throw in just for the kids. Anyway, while SARs are common in most money transmission business, crypto SARs appear to operate under different standards. In traditional institutions, a transaction needs to meet certain criteria, in most cases, to be deemed suspicious. That's not really true for Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, though. As far as the government is concerned, the threshold of suspicious is met as soon as cryptocurrency is involved. So for crypto law enforcement, Bitcoin is the equivalent of being a black person.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I'm saying that in my support.
Digressing.
Analogous to just being suspicious because of who you are. Custodial entities are legally required to file SARs for basically any crypto-related transaction above $5,000, regardless of the user's other activities. Many file for lower amounts. The entities are legally barred from revealing the reporting data to users or any member of the public. We cannot tell you how we filed a report on you ever, and cannot refuse to comply with the reporting tactics. They will lose licenses that allow them to operate if they do, and may face fines and imprisonments. When asked which agencies are most interested, FinCEN, the IRS, FBI, and various other federal law enforcement agencies, pretty much everybody. And it's not just the U.S. It's the U.S., China, Japan, Russia, U.K., others for sure. It depends on where you're based, but nearly every world power has legally mandated methods of reviewing centralized user data. Oh, that's nice. And then all the different, there's a whole paragraph here of all the different things they're going to tell people about you. And how do you know if you're one of the people who's been or currently being monitored? Well, if you ever had a problem. Basically, if you've ever filed out a form for anti-money laundering information, your data's been passed on. And if you ever had your account seem a little squirrely, you know, and not working good, they're probably looking at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, most people that listen to us don't even know what an old land phone was like. But, you used to be able to hear the clicking sound. on Wirecast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, now everything's in the air. You don't hear anything.
No.
I remember that. Good old days.
Yeah.
When you say hi to the people listening in on you and stuff. Anyway. Well, I need to run a quick commercial, and then we'll get into the Ethereum.
I'm excited about Ethereum.
Yes. And this is just a short commercial, but I'll carry on if you aren't back in by then.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try and be fast then. And thanks to Fight Federal, our sponsors here.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
To be Bitcoin girls, Bitcoin women in this studio, the lovely Sabine, the lovely Cara,
oh, yeah.
The lovely Colleen.
They don't even talk to me anymore.
Well, remember when we went to the North American Bitcoin Conference in 2018 because it was January.
Yeah,
it was right after the $20,000 Bitcoin. Oh. I mean, there were
celebrating.
It was amazing. All of these blockchain engineers in their high heels and low-cut dresses. I never realized that about the industry. I guess that's what they did, because why else would they want to be at a blockchain conference? Anyway, Ether options, as in Ethereum, were launched a year ago at Derivatives Exchange. That's actually two words. That time I mispronounced it, but the first time Deribit was the correct pronunciation, the Derivatives Exchange. It's Options Exchange, too. Open interest is the main gauge for derivative contracts, and on Ether options, it has soared by 315% over the past 2 months to 158 million. So, that just means that there's a lot of people gambling on Ethereum and Ether, and there's a bunch of charts here I'm not going to bother trying to go over. I'm going to get down to the real money. So, anyway, that was just an indicator that there had been a lot of interest the last 2 months. Well, also, shares in Grayscale's investment in Ethereum Investment Trust, ETHE is the symbol, are trading at 750% premium over the market rate of their underlying asset. I can tell you're looking. No, you're not.
No.
I thought you were looking at the symbol. Underlying asset on the secondary markets, according to data published by crypto analysis firm Messari. Have you ever heard of them?
Mm-mm.
No. How can they be so prominent if they don't ever talk to us?
Yeah, right.
I mean, they should be asking us, are you guys going to start at 4:05 sharp? Because we're tracking the Bitcoin analytics. And, they're going to have to track the Ethereum analytics. Cause now I'm becoming more favorable.
It's all based on the chart. Chart's looking good.
The premium on Grayscale's fund has aggressively widened since the start of the year, with the ETHE shares trading at 220% of the spot price in February. It offers exposure to Ethereum without investors needing to handle.
So it's got
to
go up 750% for you to make money.
No, it just needs
break
to
break even.
It just needs to go up. Doesn't mean Ethereum needs to go up.
True.
Anyway, they've traded at a price equal to $2,905 per Ether, 46 above Ether's all-time high. So not 46% above where it is now, 46% above the all-time high of Ether, which was, around $1,500,
$1,600? Something like that.
So now they've gotten as much as 20.
So wouldn't you like to be the middleman selling GTBC Ethereum?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think they're going to let me take over the company.
Yeah.
So, the premium on the shares of Ethereum continued to widen in recent months. 550%, but as I said, now 750%. The widening spread appears to be driven by increasing institutional demand for Ether. Boy, those hedge fund boys, they really know what they're doing.
They are so smart.
Grayscale purchasing $110 worth of Ether.
And selling it for $750.
I don't understand that sentence. In a recent interview, Grayscale's Director of Investor Relations, Ray Sharfaskari, noted that 38% of the firm's clients are currently exposed to more than one crypto asset. I wonder if they'd, like, sweeten the Bitcoin deal to get them to put the money into Ethereum. Because, you know, if you give somebody a 2% Bitcoin discount, that gives them a lot of money to relative to Ethereum to kick back to you. I mean, to pay the premium.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that all ties in with institutional investors. So institutional investors are piling into Ether also, evidently. Either I have to think on Deribit, you get more retail traders, and perhaps you get people hedging Ethereum positions. But if you're hedging Ether options against the Ethereum trust, you got some rough math to overcome there.
Yeah.
But if you're actually custody of your own Ether or on an exchange keeping custody, then you could hedge against it. But you're going to have another way to invest if you're an institution, most likely. The founder of investment firm Wilshire Phoenix, William Harriman, said his firm's recently filed U.S. Bitcoin fund notably differs from anything else currently on the U.S. market, a.k.a. Grayscale Investment. Based on its Bitcoin price sourcing involved third parties. He didn't mention Grayscale Bitcoin's trust by name, but since that's the only competition, that's it. Anyway, Grayscale Bitcoin's investment trust is one of the main players, of course. It often hosts sizable premiums, as we said. It also charges a 2% annual management fee to investors. Wilshire's products would have a 0.9% so 0.9% fee. Spokesperson for Grayscale declined to comment, saying they had nothing to add and don't want that name to even touch their lips. Wilshire Phoenix filed the S-1 registration with the SEC June 13th, so just not long ago.
Friday.
Yeah.
Not even Saturday.
Yeah. I know.
That's weird.
You must do it online. For its Bitcoin Commodity Trust, signaling its intention. With BCT as a ticker symbol, Bitcoin Cash Trust?
Yeah.
Oh, sidebar. Sorry, folks. Someone, back in the day, you know, got a little bit of Bitcoin, a little Litecoin. I've been telling her, well, you probably should just get it all consolidated, especially because it's Litecoin, consolidated Bitcoin. And somewhere along the way, she had some Bitcoin Cash, too. Well, then that forked. And it was, we're talking about Coinbase. And she got, you know, she sees a Coinbase, and there's some Bitcoin SV. And she tries to, you know, she's liquidating and turning everything into Bitcoin. Well, you can't sell your Bitcoin SV on Coinbase. And she has a Kraken account. So we look at Kraken. You know, figure set it, you know, it's like two-digit number of value. And Kraken won't let you sell Bitcoin SV. So we Google who will trade Bitcoin SV. There isn't anybody in this country.
Really?
That's gonna, I don't know. I didn't really look at Bittrex, but Gemini. And,
no, no, the big ones.
Google didn't know. That's good enough for me. Looks to offer mainstream buyers. Doesn't say anything about unaccredited investors here. Each share representing Bitcoin ownership, priced in line with actual Bitcoin backing. Well, GPTC has Bitcoin backing. Priced in line, though, with open market Bitcoin. Then it goes on to say, I don't hear, see here where Wilshire will redeem it for Bitcoin, which really is the only way you can be sure you're getting the over-the-counter Bitcoin price. It does go on to say, well, Grayscale doesn't let you do it, but that they never let you do it. And they tell you they're never going to let you do it in their prospectus. When asked how specifically Wilshire's will differ from other U.S. competitors, Harriman, that was the CEO, alluded to Wilshire's partnerships with Fidelity Digital Assets and Brokerage Financial Solutions. So they've got those parties doing their Fidelity custody, so they chose not to get involved with Coinbase for some reason. They could have chosen Coinbase, but have decided not to. They think Fidelity is the best fit.
Fidelity.
Which takes us to a Fidelity story. Passing through, I'm skipping over this one. There's a lot of open interest, you know, new highs for open interest on the CME Bitcoin futures market. Where do I put it? Well, anyway, Fidelity is going after the
institution.
Yes, and they, I think that was actually up at the top here. You saw that article. There are a lot of institutions coming to them. They are not the only one, because finally, pulled this in, landing this flight on time. Back, do you remember them? Back,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kelly Loeffler.
Are they back?
Yeah.
Back is back.
Yeah. And of course, they're the subsidiary of Intercontinental Exchange, which, of course, is the New York Stock Exchange and everything. Kelly Loeffler is the wife of the the owner of Intercontinental Exchange. They announced on Wednesday that they formed a partnership with cryptocurrency-focused merchant bank Galaxy Digital. I think that's Novogratz, isn't it? I think so. That's actually, it's on the Toronto Exchange. So, I wonder why they don't like America. Anyway, probably because they got a bank that they know the person, and Novogratz does a lot of trading, and you want people you feel comfortable with.
That's right.
And, you know, if you're stand-up people, you want stand-up people around you. If you're not so stand-up people, you want not so stand-up people around you.
So I'm not seeing Jamie Dimon in this.
No. According to the announcement, the company plans to offer white glove service for institutional asset managers. We're not getting any dust or stains on your Bitcoin when we handle it.
That's right.
Yes. We designed this partnership to service the uptick in demand our two firms have received from traditional asset managers, et cetera, et cetera. And they're going to be great caliber, high market knowledge, expertise in trade execution, compliant, makes you regular, all kinds of good stuff that this will do for you.
Cure diabetes.
Probably. If it doesn't, you didn't invest enough.
That's right.
Anyway, back to custody offering dubbed the Backed Warehouse. Oh, why not the Backed Vault? The Backed Piggy Bank. The Backed Bitcoin Safe Place. What do they call those rooms?
The back of house.
What are the rooms you go to in an emergency? The safe room?
Safe room.
Yeah. All right.
We've done a couple of them. I don't know if I want to be locked up in it, though.
The escape room with no escape.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, and it's covered by a $125 million insurance policy. I don't think that's especially large.
No.
Alongside the safekeeping requirements, the best-in-class stuff that they do, according to this. I mean, they are the same people that do New York Stock Exchange, so they're probably pretty good at knowing what they're doing.
The airline loyalty program.
Well, that is on the last great big thing that they did that didn't happen. Somehow along the way, you know, before they were going to bring it to institutional investors, they were going to bring it to the common man through the Backed retail-focused crypto app, which is still under development, although recently reviewed details show the app will link with other third-party. Well, we already knew that because a year and a half ago, we had people that journalists that went out and actually used it at Starbucks. According to a blog post by Backed's President Adam White, so I guess Kelly Loeffler just is too busy in the Senate making the world safe for trading.
Selling your assets before they ask.
Every senator sells their asset. Backed plans to make digital assets like airline miles. Because the people are demanding that. Loyalty points and cryptocurrencies more accessible, useful, and trusted. Taken together, it looks as though Backed is building out a Coinbase-esque product line. K caters to retail, and that's propaganda.
Yeah. So, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yes. Well, we were content rich today.
Yeah, a lot of, and we got to the end.
And with our digressions in place.
We digressed.
What do you, have going on this week until we talk again here?
Looking at a lot of longs here. And
have we maintained the price of Bitcoin?
We have maintained the price of Bitcoin. It's down a little bit. It was at 9,500 right at the peak of the show, 94.99, and it's down to 94.22. Everyone's buying Ethereum. They're banging out Ethereum.
You got to start buying 2 hours before the power block starts. Really.
It has been interesting, though. It's gone up. Mm-hmm.
Some people try to say it.
You know what I think? I'll be honest with you. You know what I think? I'm like, I think what they do is they're monitoring everything on the airways. And so if they hear a lot of chatter about Bitcoin and that, the price goes up.
The AI does?
The AI, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence listens to us?
Yeah, because I notice, you know, there's times I put out like a trade signal or something, and before I can even hit the button, you know, it's gone. It triggered. It's on its way.
Hmm.
I think they know what I'm going to do before I even do it.
Wow.
That's how good they're getting.
No, they're good.
Yeah.
They're good. All right. We'll be back next Monday for Talking Markets and then the Henry Wright Show.
Old pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom, 'cause all I